Last week, as you may recall, Moses was a baby in a basket. He was sent down the Nile River by his mom and rescued by Pharaoh's daughter after Pharaoh called for all the boys in Egypt to be killed. Today, we fast forward in time to the first story we have of Moses as an adult. And if we're honest, it's not a great one. Before we hear of all the amazing stories of Moses, the burning bush, the parting of the Red Sea, receiving the Ten Commandments, we get today's Moses. A Moses who kills, tries to hide it, and then flees in fear. It all begins when Moses leaves the palace to go out to his people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and sees their forced labor. When he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, beating a man who looks like him, who talks like him, whose blood flows through his veins, he intervenes. He looks both ways, sees no one, kills the Egyptian, hides him in the sand, and then runs back to the palace. The next day, he leaves to go out and see his people again. But this time, he finds two Hebrews fighting each other. And he's confused, like, why are you acting like this? The Egyptians are your enemy. Why are you acting like each other are the enemy? Indignant, one of the Hebrews responds, "Who made you ruler and judge over us, Moses? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And that's when Moses knows his secret is out. The worst thing he's ever done is known. It's come up from hidden in the sand, and Pharaoh has heard about it. And now he's coming for Moses' life. So Moses runs away and goes to Midian. We are only two chapters into the book of Exodus, and yet this story has involved so much violence. It began with a clear directive to oppress and deal shrewdly with the Israelites who Pharaoh was threatened by. It persisted when Pharaoh ordered to kill all the Hebrew baby boys because they were becoming too numerous. And it continues today. When Moses kills an Egyptian after seeing the suffering of his people, when two Hebrews are fighting and taking their anger out on one another, and when Pharaoh threatens to kill Moses for the second time in Moses' life. The story of the Israelites in Egypt is a prime example of how violence breeds more violence. It is a vicious cycle, one that has played out over and over again in these first two chapters. It is a vicious cycle that almost every character in today's story plays a part in. Even the people whose side we're on, even Moses, our beloved protagonist. Now, Pharaoh's response to the violence doesn't surprise me. Pharaoh is Pharaoh. Even the Hebrews' response doesn't really surprise me. This is what happens when people are oppressed and at odds with each other. But Moses' response does surprise me. Because yes, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, those on the receiving end of most of Pharaoh's violence, they are his people. And yet Moses is untouched by their oppression. He may not have even known it was happening. He has been unaffected by all of it, surrounded with all the privilege and protection he could need in the palace. And up until this point, as far as we know, he has done nothing to try and stop it. He has tried no other means of helping his people free themselves from their oppression. And yet when he leaves his place of comfort and sees the injustice toward them, when he sees their suffering and pain, maybe for the first time, His response, his first intervention, is to kill. Why is this the first thing he chose to do? How was this going to be helpful to his people? Moses had a chance to do something different, to respond in a more helpful way, or at least try. He lived in the palace. He had a foot in both the Egyptian and the Hebrew worlds. He had power and social capital and privilege that none of his kinsfolk had. He was a bridge, someone with a multitude of options. He could have at least tried. And he threw it all away in a moment. And for what? Nothing changed. The Israelites were still enslaved. Pharaoh was still Pharaoh. The violence would continue on. The only thing that changed was Moses' situation. Because after he fled, he was without a family. He was without his two communities. And he was without his honor. All because he chose to respond to violence with more violence. Moses is a prime example of how the cycle of violence is fueled. When we believe revenge is the only option, when we don't take a moment to pause and consider our place and role in the world, when we respond reactively and in anger instead of discerning how we might respond differently. This is how violence breeds, how it grows. And like most of the characters in today's story, we're all culprits in it. Whether it's with our words or our actions, we all have our moments when we keep the cycle going. When Pharaoh dies and a new leader comes into power, nothing changes. The Israelites are still enslaved and on the receiving end of continued oppression. And so they cry out. They groan and they cry out to no one in particular. They groan and they cry out under their breath because in mumbled tones in the quiet of their hearts, because they know that if their groans and cries are heard, it will continue the cycle of violence against them. They groan and they cry out because they are powerless against this violence. They can do nothing to stop it. But this time, the cycle gets interrupted. It gets interrupted by a God who hears their cries and their groans, who sees them in their powerlessness, who looks upon them with love and remembers the promises God has made to them. The promise to sustain them, to give them a people, to give them a life where they can be together with their God. The promise to live freely and joyfully outside the cycle of violence. The way God responds to violence in this story is different than everyone else. It's not with murder or killing or fighting or beating. It's not with tearing anyone down or seeking retribution. The way God responds to the cycle of violence is by hearing their lament. Listening to their cries. Noticing their humanity. Having compassion on their situation, remembering that they are God's people. This is a wholly other way of responding to violence, to injustice, to oppression, to the things that make us angry, which is why it interrupts the cycle, because it is a pause. It is a pause that invites relationship. It is a pause that makes space for what to do next. It is a pause that validates and sees the humanity of our neighbor and what they're going through. God's listening and noticing and remembering, on first glance, it feels very passive, but it is far from it, because it will become the catalyst for God to show up and act. In the coming chapters, we are going to watch as God shows up and rescues God's people from the hands who inflict violence on them. We are going to watch as this listening and noticing and remembering turns into defending and standing up for the oppressed and hurting. We are going to watch as God calls Moses, a guy who killed someone, a guy who continued the cycle. God is going to call him to be a partner in stopping the cycle and leading God's people out. And I am bold to say, I believe God has called us to do the same. So, people of God, may you take a page out of God's book. Listen for the cries and the groans. Notice the people who are powerless against the violence inflicted on them. Remember the promises God has made to them to protect and sustain them as children of God. And join God in the holy and vital work of interrupting the cycle. There is another way, and God is leading us there. Amen.